Today is September the 25th, and we are in the home of Mr. James Borland at 101 Cloverdale in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And we are aware that this is being tape recorded for public recording, for public hearing, for public use. Okay, let's see how this sounds. As you had mentioned right before we had started our interview, you said that you actually did not have any of the Mexican migrants or the braceros on your father's farm, but you said that you had observed them. What did you mean by observe them?
Just simply that there were some in the community, in that area, and as we would travel from one place to another, we would see them in the fields or in the places where they were living, or on the roads, even in town. You'd see, if you go into town Saturday afternoon, for example, you could see the Mexicans in town. That obviously they weren't people that lived there year round, so you knew who they were and why they were in the area.
Okay, and what area are you talking
about? This
is
Mississippi County, Arkansas.
Mississippi County. Could you give me? I'm not from Arkansas. So
okay,
can you give me some?
That's directly east of here, about 40 miles, 50 miles, in the Blytheville area.
Okay. Blytheville area?
Right.
Okay, so where was your farm?
About 15, 18 miles from Blytheville, southwest of Blytheville.
Okay, so what would they do when they would come to town?
Do their shopping.
Okay.
And I suppose entertainment. I didn't see that part of it. But
what kind of stuff did they do for entertainment? Were there stores, movies? What was available for them?
Well, yes, there were stores, there were movie houses, even drive-in theaters at that time. Now, I can't say how much they participated in any one thing other than knowing that they did their shopping, a lot of the shopping there. I assume that they did other forms of entertainment, even attending bars or something like that, as far as I know, but I don't know to what extent they did.
Okay. Did you have any kind of personal contact with any of them when you were in town?
Not as individuals, no. Realizing that, you know, I was still a teenager at the latter part of that time period. So, no, I didn't have direct contact with them to say that I knew any one of them individually or had conversation with them as individuals. It's just a matter of knowing they were there and what they were there for, and seeing them in the fields working, and in a few cases where they lived in the area.
Did you know of any problems in town, or any kind of problems that arose because of them being around?
Not other than hearsay. You know, you always hear, you know, that there were fights or what have you.
Fights
I don't
among
know.
Them or fights within the community?
Within the community, you know, amongst the other, especially labor class people, is what I've heard. Again, that's hearsay. I don't know any of it to be fact.
Okay. Were they well received, do you think?
Generally speaking, I think so. I think so. And as I understand, you also had to realize you had two different scenarios of them coming. In many cases, it was actually a Mexican family coming and residing on a medium-sized farm as a family unit. They provided their own transportation and what have you. In a few cases, there were, I don't know what you would call it, but more of a corporate thing where some Mexicans would provide transportation and all for a large group of them to come to a large farm. And I suspect that's where you would have more of the problems you're talking about. I know there's one large farm just a mile and a half or so from where I live that they had one or more what I would call barracks-type buildings that housed the ones that were brought in larger numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, I was never inside one of the houses. I don't know whether it had individual rooms inside or whether it was just a bunkhouse, but it was a much longer, narrower house than what you would normally see on the farms at that time. And they would be there, you know, you might say for the sole purpose of harvesting cotton.
Would you say there were more of the families brought in, or more of the, I guess what you called the corporate? Yeah.
And I don't know. I just know of some of both.
Okay.
But it's to say numbers, no, I don't have any
contact. You don't
contact.
Remember there being one group larger than the other?
And the only reason I know of the large group is because there was one plantation not far from where I lived at the time, and I would see them there. I had heard of others that had the situation. Have you read the book, The Painted House by John Grisham?
Yes, sir.
Okay, he portrays what I understand to be fairly accurate, the Mexican family coming in and tying up with a local farmer. And then, you know, working for that farmer. And there you got just a simple family as a unit as opposed to a large group of people.
Okay.
And you know, like I say, I've read the book, and from what I understand, that was fairly accurate.
Okay.
We didn't have any on my dad's farm. The little small community that I lived in, to the best of my recollection, none of the farmers there had Mexican families come in, you know, to stay and work for that particular farm.
You know why they did not?
No, not really. I think the main reason is that particular community was primarily a group of very small farmers, and generally speaking, were able more nearly to do their own work without external labor. Also, many of those farmers had already established a relationship with people from the hill country of Arkansas that would come in much the way the Mexican families would come in and bunk or stay the summer just for harvest season and then go back home. I can recall a family actually living in my dad's garage. He'd box in the front end of the garage, and they would bunk in there for the summer and pick cotton for us. So that was very similar to what then the Mexican families did, except that they were basically local people, Arkansas people, as opposed to coming from Mexico or South Texas.
Why did they switch from being people from the hills to people from Mexico, do you think?
Well, you also have to consider that this same time frame was World War II, which took a lot of the male laborers from this part of the country going to war. So they didn't have the number of them to do this work. Therefore, more of the Mexican labor was brought in, encouraged to come in.
Right.
Is my understanding, like I say, not for no first-hand account of it, but that was my understanding. Why a lot of it got started with them coming, as opposed to, you know, local people. You also had somewhat of the industrialized revolution, which started taking people off of the farm, the laborers off the farm here, going to Detroit to make cars and what have you. So, you know, a lot of those are a combination of economic pressures and events on this particular part of the country. Am I an expert on it? No.
But you know more than I do about it.
But that's what I see as a lot of the reasoning for it. Did they work for lesser cost than the others? I don't know. I really don't know. Like I said, we didn't hire any of them direct. So I don't know that there was that much difference in that. As far as the availability of labor, you also had a lot of the local farmers would get people that actually lived in town. Then in the fall of the year, they could make money by going out on the farms and picking cotton. And I assume that, like the war effort and the Industrial Revolution, started taking a lot of those away from the availability in the local counties as well, you know, as those that actually lived on the farm. Now, I can remember Dad hiring groups of people out of town, rarely, but occasionally, to come out and pick cotton for them. Took a lot of folks to harvest 300,000 acres of cotton.
I can imagine.
All by hand at that time. Of course, during the latter part of the same time frame you're talking about, 40s, 50s, and 60s, then was the advent of the mechanical cotton picker, which had the opposite effect on the migrant labor. Mm-hmm. To the point that now none of it is harvested by hand. All of it by machine. I'm not interested, no, not sure what you're interested in here. Now, even in the late 70s and up until the mid 80s, we still had, in fact, myself and family had a Mexican family that would come in from South Texas and chop cotton for us in the spring. And this, you know, went on up until, like I say, mid 80s or thereabouts. In fact, we had like 10 or 12 years that the same family would come every year.
Wow.
And chop cotton for us. This goes a little bit past the period
right.
that you're specifically interested
right.
in here. But the same, a lot of the same techniques followed then.
Mm-hmm.
They would normally start calling us 2 weeks or so more before we were ready for them. Says, can we come? You know, no, not yet. But the same type of thing happened and continued to happen with chopping cotton, keeping the weeds out of cotton. Several years past what your primary interest is as far as the harvesting of cotton in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Do you still keep in touch with that family?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. Once they ceased coming into our area, then, you know, we didn't contact them. I didn't maintain contact with them. Fact is, they would normally come in, chop cotton for us until, you know, pretty well had it under control. Then they would leave here and go up primarily Michigan for fruit and vegetable harvest before returning to their home in South Texas. Now these were, at least part of them were actually American citizens, just of Mexican descent as opposed to Mexican. Most of the ones you're talking about were probably actually Mexicans coming across the border.
Right. They're contracted from the Mexican government with the United States government and brought to work in the fields.
Okay. I did not know that it was actual government-to-government contract, but I assumed it to be something of that nature, all right. It was a recognized fact, anyway, that they were truly Mexican citizens coming in to work. The ones that we had chopping cotton for us, probably the parents were originally Mexican citizens. I don't know. The kids all went to school. They spoke English. The parents didn't.
Right.
Very little, if any. You're talking about a different situation there, all right? But a lot of analogies are the same between the two.
Is there anything else you would like to add, or
That's,
any other questions, or?
No, yeah, it's interesting that this is being looked at this late in the game.
Well, it's a little-known part of history that we're trying to record before it passes away.
Before us old folks get to the point we can't remember. We're not here to remember it anymore. No, and it's true. Yeah, and you know, I'm past 70, and my recollection of it was right in on the tail end of this, as opposed to being in the middle of the period that you're talking about. I graduated from high school in 53, which is at least in the latter half of what you're talking about here. And the late 50s was the introduction of the mechanical cotton picker. And it didn't take many years till, you know, it just exploded to the point that it handled all of that for this part of the country, as opposed to the migrant labor coming in and picking cotton. Of course, we still have some of those that came in as migrant workers that ended up settling in this part of the country and becoming citizens and working on the farms and what have you, full-time, year-round, I should say, as opposed to just for the harvest season or something like that.
We still have that today.
Oh, yeah. We have a slight interest in a gin between Dell and Blytheville. You go up there in the fall, and a big part of their labor force are Mexican descent. Now, they're people that live here year-round for the most part now. But you still get a lot of that same group of workers into the farm area of Northeast Arkansas. Anything else?
I can't think of anything else.